Thanks for listening to Three Empty Pints this week. If you haven't subscribed to us on your favorite podcasting app, please do. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Acast, Google Play, Auto Radio, and Player FM. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Three Empty Pints. And if you would like to email us your questions, witticisms, and general disgruntlement, threeemptypints@mail.com. And also, if you'd like to donate, send us money, support us, please do. Click on the tip jar link in this week's episode or visit our website as well.
Everybody's favorite banker, especially Obama's. And I know Angel likes this smirking, smug, silver-haired banker by the name of Jamie Dimon. Jamie Dimon, Chad. Oh, Chad is... Jamie Dimon this week came out at a conference, because that's what Jamie Dimon does. He just goes to conferences other than running like this behemoth of a...
Are they leadership conferences?
Yeah, probably.
Most likely.
And Jamie Dimon spewed hate.
Spewed hate.
About Bitcoin, which I find so amusing. And... it dropped the Bitcoin price, like almost close to 1,000. Bitcoin was trading over $4,000, and tonight, it's at 3,300 something.
So how many did he buy in the meantime after he killed the price?
Oh, and then so allowed fantastic! It to he said he would quote fire any trader for buying Bitcoin, and he would also fire them for being stupid. Then he went on and said Bitcoin is a fraud, worse than tulip bulbs.
Wow.
Then he said it will eventually blow up. It won't end well. This got all the fucking basement-dwelling, anime-loving, fucking anarchist-type crypto bitches in a huff. Look.
Jake, aren't those your people?
Harsh words.
It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. You are not going to subvert the central bankers who run this world. Maybe not necessarily the central bankers, but the families and the major banks that own the central banks. You are not going to subvert them. It's impossible. They control the world. It's really that simple. And these little assholes, and I love Max Kaiser, but these guys have been spewing this shit for years. This is going to save us all. This is, oh, I'm an anarcho-capitalist and I'm all about Bitcoin. And I'm an anarchist and I'm all about Bitcoin. Yeah. If it's so freedom-loving, right, and it's going to save everybody, how the fuck is it up to $3,300 for one Bitcoin?
Oh, I've been data mining my bitcoins.
If this is supposed to free everybody and give liberty to everybody, how the fuck did it become trapped and controlled by nothing but fucking stupid speculators? If it's supposed to free everybody, how the hell did it get all the way up to this? If it's supposed to be for the people. But no, it's just fucking piece of shit. Wall Street speculators and the fucking gangsters that run everything on this planet that has to do with money, they ran it up. But this is going to free all of us. This is going to free us, you crypto coin anarchist bitches. No, it won't. Because once again, you fucktards don't understand humans. Our brains are hardwired for profit and power. So anytime someone can see something and exploit the fuck out of it, they fucking will. And Chad, that's the problem with capitalism.
Jake, if you had an accent right now, I would make love to you. I love you so much right now. Jake, let me propose a a foil to Bitcoin, a counter-revolution, if you will. We, that is the three of us, should found Bodega Coins.
Bodega Coins. Nice.
They'll represent the hard work of individuals, and we'll piggyback off of their hard work to make our own profit.
You just can't do it. I mean, everyone knows that. And granted, everyone's like, well, of course Jamie Dimon's going to say it sucks and blah, blah, blah. It's going to blow up in people's faces because you know, he runs the biggest. No, he's being a realist. There's one thing that everyone can agree on Jamie Dimon, and you can be a Keynesian, brainwashed, MIT, Harvard, econ fucktard, and on the other side, you can be a libertarian, Austrio, anarchist, capitalist fucktard as well, but everyone in the middle agrees that Jamie Dimon is a smart motherfucker. I mean, this guy knows how the world's run. I've seen interviews with him at conferences, and he goes, you don't get it. It's called the Fed. I mean, this guy knows it. He's smart. He runs one of the biggest banking behemoths on this planet. Granted, has shit slipped through like $10 billion trades or whatever it was a few years ago? Yeah, but he knows.
But how much is $10 billion to those guys? I mean, it's still a lot, but it's not what you and I think when we hear
the problem
$10 billion.
Again is you can't outsmart them. And once again, everyone, you know, if you want real freedom, then you get away from money. You want real change, you got to get rid of the institutions that run everything. But again, that's too big and too small. So we'll just subvert them. Oh, yeah, right. Like, you can subvert the law. Of course, to a certain extent. And if you have enough money, you can pay everybody off. But
yeah, you just make the law what you want it to be.
Right. And that's what politicians and companies do.
And the Koch brothers and the Waltons.
But they're going to save the middle class.
Yeah, they care about the middle class. That's who they're looking out for.
That's right.
The Koch brothers want the middle class to be free and enjoy liberty and all the privilege and prestige and power that they have. No, wait. That's bullshit. I can't even say it out loud.
Angel asked in the show notes for the research, you asked, what does it take
to be considered middle class? Yeah.
What does it take?
What is it?
I found that today because I looked it up. Latest numbers-wise from the last survey, the government says would be $59,000 a year household.
Household?
Yes.
Combined income.
Up to what? I think it was up to $350,000. You're still middle class.
Well, the tax brackets are ridiculous. I just...
No, that was because the 59 to 100 was... See, I saw 35 to 59.
According to the survey, the national medium household income rose to $59,039. That would be considered middle class.
And that would be home, cars, bills.
No, that's your income.
Taxes. Yeah. But I'm just saying that all that would cover all of that.
Well, it doesn't include wealth, which is one of the big issues
most
that I
people,
have with
most
it.
People, and it doesn't matter where they range on the economist scale, will say to be comfortably middle class, and it depends on how they break it down. But just say generically, at least 100,000. So you were around right when you said about 90,000.
90,000, yeah.
Well, 100,000 puts you in upper middle class, and then
but the
up
upper
to,
middle class is now even like 300,000. There's
well, no, the 350 is wealthy, but you're even the wealthy aren't even in the 1%. That's a
no.
whole separate bracket.
Now the whole 1% that all the young kids raged about, or my generation raged about when they, you know, had the Battle of Seattle, or they were at Occupy Wall Street, that 1% is a strata that really, it's not even visible to the most part.
No, and some of them don't even have an income.
No.
They have so much wealth that this, and they hide their income and they mask it.
Chad,
and
this is when people talk about wealth, you know, when I was growing up or whatever, they don't understand what real wealth was, who the real wealthy is. The best example I have is true New England wealth. This is dynastical wealth. This is, like you said, these are people who don't work. They lived off of land ownership. They lived off of interest from stocks, bonds, investments. that was real wealth. I mean, that's still real wealth to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, they have servants in every sense of the word, yeah. And they kind of live on their manor or their estate, and they're kind of like feudal lords. You know, they have all these people under them who answer to them, and they hire specialists, and they throw parties, and they go out and socialize, and that's life right. for them.
Yeah, that's real wealth. That's generational mm-hmm. wealth in this family. That when we talk about America that doesn't think they have a caste system, yeah, we fucking do. We have old school British caste system. It may not be as rigid as the old school British caste system was, meaning like, oh, your dad's a dentist and that's all you're going to be. We don't have that here, but we have a caste system. It's ingrained and it's invisible, and it's the dominant generational ruling class.
And it is a little more fluid, and that's why I think right. we let it continue, because people made their way into it.
You
through
can.
Hard work and, you know,
again, if we think of it the old way, think of your old institutional Ivy League New England colleges. I mean, if you went to Harvard back in the day before Obama's age of equality, you went there because, one, your family generational that you went there. Two, you were rich enough to go there. And three, you got in on academics. Now, when you were that third one, you got pulled in. You know, if you were selected. And you are of correct genetics in a way, you could marry into the ruling classes, especially if you got into those type of institutions. And we all forget why those colleges exist. They were there to maintain the ruling classes of this country.
And to filter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In researching for this topic, you know, I always end up going 180 degrees and kind of just off on tangents. One of the things I found was about college degrees and how useless they are. You know, there's that myth that people get useless college degrees and then they can't find jobs. And they were breaking it down. And one of the things they found was that people at like state schools and not elite institutions get job applicable degrees, and they don't struggle to find jobs. You know, they get a business degree and then they go, you know, work as a manager, or they, you know, get a degree in accounting and they work as a CPA. You know, they get a degree in education and they teach. You know, they're getting that degree, and for them, that degree needs to pay for itself because they don't have that generational wealth to back it up. But that generational caste, they go and they get their undergrad degree in, you know, fucking masturbating while you brew craft beers, because the undergrad degree for them is nothing. You know, they're going to get a master's degree, and that might be in foo-foo bullshit, too. Doesn't really matter until they get the PhD. And then at that point, they have 3 degrees from Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, and they can go work on Wall Street anyway, even if their degree is in, oh, Mountain Dew's wonderful.
These elite dynastical families, they don't have debt. They're like the Amish and the Mennonite. Straight cash, homie, shit was paid off. I don't take a very sentimental view on the death of the American middle class. And my reason is, how badly did the American middle class do this to themselves? How complacent did the middle class become? This used to be a class that had political weight, mm-hmm. that could vote.
How much of that was a myth, though? I mean, you had working, I mean, now we call them working class people, what, who wanted to be middle class.
Old blue collar working Democrats.
Yeah.
It was a total myth.
You had your, you know, upper middle class and even your wealthy who still felt they were middle class in some cases because that's where they came from. And they wanted to identify that way because they felt they still worked. And a lot of them did. You know, they worked hard, even if they weren't. You know, they had worked themselves out of the middle class. That was still their identity in their head. You know, I'm still middle class. I might make a lot of money, but, you know, I work for it. And that was the middle class mentality. You worked for what you earned, and you earned what you got. And some of that is, you know, rose-tinted glasses. But, I mean, that was the myth. That was the identity.
What's the middle class mean to you?
The middle class to me is nothing. It's just some made up bullshit to make you feel like you need to buy a house and live in suburbia and raise your kids and get a mortgage, and it's bullshit.
It's more of that the American dream is a myth type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just got rolled into the whole American dream garbage.
The consumerism, the marketing.
Well, yeah.
The advertising.
Yeah, we talked about it before. It seems like in my memory is that when we talk about the American dream and the American middle class, that whole post, that generation that came back from fighting the war.
Yeah.
You know,
now your life is going to be better. You can settle down and move away from the city and have a home.
The
and,
GI Bill
yeah.
put built so many homes and put so many people through college.
Yeah.
Did the middle class become complacent? Do we get lulled into this?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so. You know, and plus, the middle class probably existed. You worked hard, you built up some money, you bought a better home, you whatever. But, you know, at some point, they changed it. It became, in order to sustain this, I don't have a real paying job, so I just borrow money and I just hope that I can pay for my mortgage.
Would you...
It's all like a facade. Like, it's just, oh, I'll buy a $350,000 home on $1,000 down because you're going to let me borrow all that money. And then these people, they default them on this because they can't sustain that lifestyle. It doesn't it's not real. It's some made up shit so that you can owe money and then fucking
consumerism.
Yeah.
They got lulled into consumerism.
Yeah.
And I think that the wealthy buy things because they either get cheap loans as we're living in that age now, but for the most part, they bought things on cash.
Yeah.
You know, or they had the American Express green card, yeah. which is not a credit card. It is a charge card,
yeah.
meaning every month you pay it off.
Yeah.
They didn't accrue interest.
Yeah, they owned it. They didn't. Yeah. It wasn't something that they bought on credit that they were going to pay back. Like, they bought it. It was theirs.
But you said something that stuck out to me because I've heard it from other people in that generation that, you know, you... upgrading your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you got a raise or a promotion, you moved to a better house. And my grandmother, I mean, she is fiscally responsible. You know, she could teach people about this. And she worked a not high paying job. I mean, she was working class. She was not middle class
mm-hmm.
when she was single and raising my mom. But every 2 years with her raise, they moved to a bigger apartment because that's what you did.
Yeah.
And
you upgraded because you earned your way up.
And she told me that one time, and I just gave her this blank look. I was like, why didn't you stay in the same place and save some of that money? And she just looked at me, and she's like, well, that's not what you did. And I looked at her, and I was like, well, why the hell not? Like, why did you have to expand? And, you know, my wife and I have had this conversation. You know, how do you keep your lifestyle from expanding with your income?
Your lifestyle.
You know, it does, though. You know, you get promoted and you go out and you start doing nicer things.
You have more money or you have the ability to, and then you kind of get that itch and then, you know.
And then you start putting things on the credit card. And
but that's the thing. Has people become...
they got baited into it.
Yeah. We've become so brainwashed by consumerism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which no one talks about anymore. It's like passé.
It's that whole keeping up with the Joneses bullshit. Like, oh, my neighbor, he just put an addition on his house. Well, honey, we have to do the same thing. Yeah, but you didn't get the big promotion that Bill did. Oh, well, I'll just go to the bank and tell him that I'm good for it. And then there you go.
I'm good for it.
You know what I mean? It's just, people just got lulled into it.
It's another way the ruling class could fucking keep control of the serfs.
And then there are some people that fight it. That gentleman that used to come in when we worked at the retail conglomerate, you talked about leaving to work for, and I talked about leaving to work for. His wife was pretty high ranking in the military. He had a very, very successful business that he sold, and they still lived in the, as my mother and grandmother would call it, cracker box house that they bought when they first got married because that's the money they had when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel the need to keep up with the Joneses or upgrade their home. I mean, she was always at work in the Army and he was always traveling, so I don't know that they were ever there. That was probably part of it. They didn't care about that visual status. You know, they knew what they had and they were cheap. They were that old school cheap. It's going in the bank. I'm saving it.
I think that's the other thing that you mentioned, that it middle class kind of did become sort of a status symbol kind of thing. You're in suburbia. You're in the $350,000 home. You have five bedrooms. You live in the cul-de-sac or whatever the fuck. And it's just
the Rue de Boots.
Yeah.
And now the millennials move back to the city. So
in their studio apartments, which are trendy now.
Yeah, and now I read that, you know, that's part of the reason why when they talk about middle class suburbia, the issues that some of these places are having is that the tax revenue has departed.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's even more of a not depressionary cycle, but you have issues there with the economies because the kids went back to the cities because.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the reverse. I mean, you lived in the city, you worked in the city, and then you were like, I need to get away from the city because I want to have a family and whatever. And then they fucked that all up, so now everybody's going back to the city because that's where everything is.
It was always like that. I mean, the wealthy, back in the days of, like, England pops into my head, you know, the wealthy worked in London, but they had houses in
they didn't
the
live,
country.
Yeah, they didn't live in London.
And you visited to get out of the city. And in America, for some reason, like... I don't know. There's always – I talk about it a lot because I think it's bullshit, but we just think of the cities as these – you need to go to the city. Every generation has been brainwashed, I think.
Cities have a different history, though.
Yeah, because they're – I don't –
they're newer.
Well, everything cycles around. So before it was like you have to get out of the city and go to the countryside and get a nice house and live in the suburbs. You could work in the city, but you want to be out here and have a bigger home and more space, green grass, safer area for your kids to go to school.
Just thinking about how we talk about, and I always pick on, you know, how cities become these liberal utopias. It's no wonder that young kids who show any type of aptitude or creativity or art or something are told to get out. Go to the city and the...
Yeah, you'll never be anything here.
Yeah, and then they go there and you got to wonder why...
But then the cities have how many people who do work? I mean, they have guys struggling and scraping and...
It's one thing I've
hustling.
Never understood. Yeah. I've never understood that about cities. The way they are portrayed to what they actually are is completely different. I mean, how many people... The young people who are brainwashed to go to New York City... Get away from your middle class roots and go to New York City.
Culture. And
how
art.
Many people actually live the Madison Avenue lifestyle? They don't.
Yeah, the 2 1/3% or whoever.
I distinctly remember this one.
Six people.
You know, when I was young, you got to be a writer. You got to move to New York City and you got to be around these people and you got to be around these people. No,
get around the Daily Bugle.
One, I don't want to be around other writers because they're all awful human beings.
Oh, not in the coffee shops where they're writing?
Oh, yeah, phonies. And two, who the fuck wants to starve in a city? You don't live this great lifestyle. Yeah. It's like Chad said, how many of the people do we forget that aren't just immigrant classes, are just white people struggling
you
to survive?
Well, I mean, you start rock bottom when you go to the city. I mean, you really do.
And
you
there are
really
people there,
to...
I mean, they've... You know, I don't want to steal the Uber commercial because they're scum too, but they've got, you know, they have their before work hustle, they've got their job, they've got their after work hustle, they've got their evening hustle, and then they've got their part-time job Friday night, Saturday morning,
the whole
and Sunday.
Side hustle.
I feel like you really have to earn your stripes because there's lots of people in the city that are like, look at this fucking asshole, thinks he can just come in and ruin everything. And you get shit on, and you got to start right down here, and you got to scrape. And some people aren't cut out for it.
Yeah, for some guys, it's carrying four cases of water into the subway and selling them for $1
especially
a piece.
If you're an aspiring writer or whatever. And it's like, yeah, you got to scrub dishes, asshole, because that's the only job we're going to give you here.
You know, when you start that, like or Chad said, you're hustling bottles of water on the subway. Well, what's the top then? Do you ever reach the top?
No.
Can you reach the top?
No. A lot of people I know who moved to cities either reached a point where they can... You know, maybe they advance their career and they can actually pay for their rent with their three roommates in their two-bedroom apartment, or a lot of them move out.
Yeah.
You know, and they might keep working in New York City, but they might live in Jersey or they might live in a suburb.
You give up and you leave, or you find a girl and you get her pregnant and now you got a baby, so guess who's going back to the suburbs? I feel like there's very little success. And I'm not saying there never has been and never will be, but I feel like a lot of people get talked into doing that shit, and the reality just punches them right in the face, and it was like,
especially
wow.
If you're not used to it, if you don't, you know, those guys that grow up there, I mean, they eyes wide open. They know what they're in for every day because that's the life they grew up in. They saw their mom do it. They saw their dad do it. They saw their uncle and their grandfathers do it.
I always love that when I go to a city and I see that mindset. You know, you have those guys that are just like, oh, fuck this. I got my hands fucking busted up the other day. My mom's been fucking pounding on me all week. And you go to Philly and you see those old Italian rough, you know, construction workers or the New York City cabbies. What type of life is that? Did they live a middle class life? I've often wondered that. What type of middle class life do you live in cities that are dominated by wealth, specifically New York and Boston? Maybe it's a little more different in New York because it's not as concentrated as Boston is necessarily. But
yeah, I mean, it's probably like a city type of middle class. So you probably have a nice apartment. You can afford to be fairly comfortable, where the middle class was turned into that whole suburbia thing, though, and that's where they got, that's what they defined as the middle class.
Well, eventually, like our generation and, you know, our parents, it was get out of the city and go to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And that became the new middle class.
Yeah, and now with the younger generation, the millennials, they're being told, oh, no, you don't want, no, go.
It started with us, I think, too. You got to go back to the
city.
Yeah,
but we were too smart to be like, yeah, you know what? No, I'll do what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about moving to Philly many times and had opportunities.
You said that many times.
I wanted to live in New York City, but the reality of, you know, a marriage and a family and how many cats I would like to have in the apartment I could afford in New York City, well, it doesn't work.
Yeah, realistically, it's like, do I want to give up my lifestyle to live where I want to live, or do I want to do what I want to do
and move
maybe
away
not...
from my family? I mean, I could do that, but what am I gaining by doing, you know, what am I gaining by moving there? And you have to look, what do I gain? What do I lose? I mean, my family's getting older. You know, my grandparents, I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. My dad, you know, do I want to be there? And then, you know, you're struggling because... And some of that's moving. Moving's expensive. Moving to a place that's far away, you're taking a gamble. You know, what if something happens and you have to come home? Can you bear that cost of, you know, coming home for a 3-day funeral and not working? I mean, you know, we did the math on living in New York City, and it was every penny we made, you know, would have gone to, I mean, mostly rent. It would have been sacrificing cars and the freedom, for lack of a better word, that allows. I don't know that you need them in the city, but if you want to come home and visit your family in Pennsylvania.
Well, Chad, the free market economy has given us Uber. So. Oh, if this was being video recorded, the blank face there would have been perfect.
Priceless. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, capitalism
works.
My sister
did it. My sister went to travel school. You talk about that. She didn't want to live at home when we lived here in Pennsylvania, and she wanted to move to the city, and she became a travel agent for a really big travel agency. She made buku money. She was single. You know, she was living the lifestyle. She was making money, and she had to work her way up, though. She lived in Paterson, New Jersey there for a little while because she wasn't making a lot of money, kind of bouncing around. She worked in the city, but then she landed a really good job and was able to move her way up. Of course, then she met somebody and had kids and all that. And she still lives there, and she's eventually moved to Ridgewood, which is Queens. And now she has a house, and she has two kids who are going to college there. So she's made a life for herself, but it wasn't without sacrifice. And she gave up being with her family, which she, you know, many times in conversations with her, she kind of regrets a lot of that stuff. With my parents getting older, and of course my dad passed away years ago, and it's a big sacrifice. It really is. And she had to earn her stripes.
Well, yeah, I talked about my great uncle. He moved to New York City in the 80s, and he often talked about his first apartment. He's like, you know, I'm trying to sleep, and the mice are running across me, and the cockroaches are massing for invasion.
He saw New York at a very time.
And he talked about, you know, it was a shithole.
Yeah.
He got there before they cleaned up. He hit his third apartment, and somebody said, you need to stay there, because the way this city works is it turns into a shithole, and then it cleans up. He's like, if you wait it out long enough, basically, you know, stay your way into magic. So he moved into this, you know,
rent control.
Yeah, rent control and gentrification.
Yeah.
So he got his apartment, and he stuck it out, and he talked to them a couple times, and they, no, stick it out. And now You know, there are guys above him paying $10,000 a month for the same apartment he's paying, I think, $725 for. You know, and man, he also worked his way up in his job, mm-hmm. and he got lucky, and he had some breaks.
Yeah, that, but, and that's city living.
Yeah, I mean, that's not everybody has that. Not everybody catches
you
those
gotta
breaks.
You got to have a certain
luck.
Luck and balls.
Yeah.
Like you gotta have balls and skill. Like it's a mix of a lot of different things, and some people are cut out for it and some people aren't cut out for it.
So what happened to all the people who left the city to set up their suburban utopias?
They got coerced into massive amounts of debt and fucking bankruptcy. That's it.
And they work in advertising. They have to upgrade their homes every 2 years. Work,
you could be a manager at some, a middle manager at this retail store.
No, they went back to school to be realtors.
Yeah, or you could be, I don't know, a middle manager at some stupid shitty office complex, or I don't know. And that all went away.
Like, how do you live an old school middle class life? You know, that where you have your kids. 2.3 kids, the white picket fence, 2 cars. I mean, how much of that works anymore?
No,
I mean, when the housing bubble went, destroyed communities.
Yeah, it wiped that. It wiped that kind of lifestyle off the fence, off the.
And it will never recover.
No, I don't. You'll never see that again.
I think you have to pick and choose what you want from that and what's within your means. You know, for some people it's a home, for some people it's kids.
You can, but I think that's why they switched the strategy around to like, okay, well, you can go to school and you can get a big degree or a nice degree, and then you move to the city and find a great job.
But how much of that is a scam? And I ask, of course, no, with eyes wide open, they tell you to, you know, go to school so you can get a better job and make more. But then you're paying off student loans.
Well,
how much of it is control? It's just a cycle. You're on the wheel like the hamster.
Exactly.
You know?
First, they started saying, get a mortgage, buy a house, start making babies, the whole thing. Do it. Here's some money.
By the way, you owe us for 30 years. Student loans and a mortgage. Yeah. I mean, I knew what I was in for.
Now we're like, well, we already went that route. We already saw everybody lost their ass on these houses. So school, academia, go to college. That's what you need to do. You need a master's. That's what you need. Yeah. Travel around the world. Educate yourself. We'll pay for it. Just make sure you pay back. That's all it is. To me, that's what it is. That's how I see it. Everybody loses their ass on homes and money with houses, and they go bankrupt, and there's all these defaults, and then the fucking goddamn bankers, what the hell do they call that? Yeah, the bailout, all that shit.
Yeah, they bailed them out so they could foreclose
on
all these fucking people.
So they
can
fuck another generation into fucking going to school instead of buying a house. That's what it was.
The whole idea of buying a house and living the American dream is bullshit to me.
It always was.
Yeah.
It always was.
It worked for one generation. And maybe that's it. Maybe two.
It worked for one generation because they came back and they had real jobs that they can go to. And they made real money.
And the GI Bill helped pay for those houses.
And everybody had so much more than the generation before them. Because the husband went off to the war and he came home and he had the GI Bill. And while the husbands were all off fighting the war, the wives were working in the factories. Yeah. I mean, income skyrocketed compared to the generation before.
You could fucking buy a house for $10,000 or $20,000 back then. Then again...
Oh, there were women who worked during the war and had enough at the end of the war to buy a house.
It's actually when the modern-day consumerist culture started.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, now this home that used to be $20,000 years ago is now $50,000. Now it's $100,000. Now it's $200,000.
And don't forget, during the housing bubble that... You know, your house was an ATM. Remember that old thing? Oh, just
borrow on the equity of your home.
Yep.
Oh, that's fine. But then, see, a house was just, it was a door. It was a fucking living room, a nice little home, maybe a second floor. And then it's like, no, I need 2 garages. I need a fucking shed.
An old school
Cape Cod.
And
I need a finished fucking basement. And don't forget, I need a fucking vacation home, too. Like,
and a detached beer hole.
Oh, and by the way, asshole down the street. He just put a third floor on his fucking house, so that's what I gotta do. Well, I need a house with a third fucking floor, too.
And a pool.
And next thing you know, your house is $500,000 fucking dollars. Idiots! Sorry.
Yeah, you got really wound up about that.
It's just stupid. Like, it's just these people.
No, it's watching those people. They turn it into a game, and everybody has to compete.
Yeah, you fall for this fucking shit, you fucking morons. Like, really?
So it really is the middle class's own fault. To
yeah, because everybody wanted to live beyond their means. Because the TV, that fucking HGTV and all that bullshit would say, oh, it's great. You can redo your bathroom. It only costs you $25,000 for a fucking marble tub. They got brainwashed into fucking spending all this goddamn money they didn't fucking have.
And spending all the money going to the sports on the weekend. Going to...
Oh, yeah, season ticket holder. All that bullshit. All of that. Oh, now you're living... Now you've really reached another class because you're a season ticket holder.
I got box seats.
For the Toronto Argonauts.
Don't forget the fine dining restaurants and the country
clubs.
Oh,
my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and you could play golf with your buddies on the weekend.
Oh, golf. And join the tennis club.
Oh, my God. And your wife will take the kids to the beautiful preschool that they just built down the road.
And then you need to buy a sports car. You can't drive it except on weekends when you go to the sports club meetings.
Yeah, exactly. So you have your midlife crisis car, and then you have your really expensive Dodge Caravan over there, too, for the family. It's people just got fucking manipulated and brainwashed and feeling like, oh, I'm nobody if I don't have these material possessions. That's all it was. We were living beyond our means and it caught up to us. Period. End of sentence. And now they can't exploit that anymore. So they told these fucking idiots that these millennials, oh, go to school. That's what you need. That's going to get you out of it. Because your family, your dad, your mom, they fucked you up. So just go to school, get an education. You're smarter than that. And then move to the city. It'll all be fine then. That's fine. No problem. And here, Obama, there you go. Here's some money. Oh, you can't go to Harvard because you're black? There you go. Here's some money. You're welcome. Get the fuck out of here. Am I wrong? I mean, I don't know.
No. It's that cycle of debt.
And I've said it before. I think there's good productive debt where you make an informed decision. And to some extent, it's a calculated risk, like moving to the city.
Exactly.
Like, will this benefit me? Will this make me happier? Is this what I actually want? You know, if you take debt to go to school so that you can get a career you want.
But I would think that back then, if you lost your ass, you lost your ass. Sorry. You're going to have to pick up the pieces and start all over again. Now it's like, oh, what happened? Oh, don't worry. Here you go. Just borrow a little bit more money. You can fix it. Me, personally, I just feel like you said, cycle of debt. That's the perfect way of saying it. They manipulated and controlled and fucking told these assholes over here to do it this way. And then that exploded. And the government helped them out of that because, like, oh, man, that was really bad. Hey, we're going to need some money so we can keep on rolling. Otherwise, the world's going to come to an end. The economy, as you know, will fall apart and die.
And people still think the government creates jobs. They don't create jobs. The government has nothing to do with creating jobs. No. They never have. They never will.
No.
The only thing they like about creating jobs is that they can tax jobs and the businesses and regulate them. So they never have created jobs. So all these people are like, you know, make America great again, which, you know, the millennial SJWs think it's make America white again, and it's not. It was about bringing back that old school.
The 50s. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what it was.
But we don't have those those manufacturing jobs are lost. They're gone.
They're gone. They're
forever.
Never coming back.
Yeah.
So what do people do? What do you do? Just get hooked on heroin? Like at some point, I mean, really, at some point, and I'm really true that the middle class did this themselves because in some way they became consumer slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They worried about stupid sports. All the time. They spent their money recklessly. They never stopped to question anything.
Yep.
And that's part of humans that always pisses me off. You don't question anything. So when you don't question anything and you take institutions for granted, meaning the government and the bankers at this point, you're going to get fucked. So what do you do? What do they do now?
Well,
we all know it's fucked.
Did they forget to save? We did an episode on the Greatest Generation, and I shit on them, and I still don't think they're perfect, but they saved.
Yeah.
I mean, they saved for a rainy day,
yep.
And how many people are going through their parents' houses when they die or, you know, when they get dementia, and, you know, they take the sheets off the mattress, and there's 10 or 20 or 100 grand.
Not to mention some of the assets, the actual possessions that they own that are of real value.
Farms worth millions of dollars.
I think, again, part of the whole savings thing was the good times are always going to roll. People grew up you know, we grew up in the 80s where everything was rah, 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 which it wasn't.
Until they
no.
hit that until crash.
The, yeah, yeah. Then we hit yeah. the recession.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, you're going back to what you said about you're supposed to spend. I mean, we were basically told, oh, no, don't put money in the bank.
Well, that's what we are. We're a consumerist economy. Mm-hmm. People don't understand that. After this country was deindustrialized, like, what is it? 78% of our GDP is predicated on consumer spending. Mm-hmm. After 9/11, what was the mantra? People think it's funny, but it's true. Georgie Bush stood there and said, spend.
Spend. That's what the stimulus package was.
That's a whole
a
service
for.
Economy.
That was the stimulus
Services
package.
Cost money. They rely on people spending mm-hmm. and engaging services. Whether that's your fucking tattooed bearded mixologist at the artisanal craft bar, or a massage, or your therapist.
Here we talk about conference. Not having savings, and most Americans don't save money because
of course they don't.
Part of it, I think, was, well, I just have a credit card and I'll just keep
racking it up. And some people are like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I don't fucking have the ability to.
Here's a study from the Motley Fool from June 2017. The St. Louis Federal Reserve said the personal savings rate as of June 17th was a measly 3.8%, or $3.80 for every $100 people earned. With the median household income in the U.S. at just north of $50,000, that would amount to $4,000 a year. Considering that the U.S. economy is 70% based on consumption, Americans are probably over-consuming rather than saving. The Federal Reserve recently released data showing that aggregate credit card debt had hit an all-time high of over $1 trillion, eclipsing the previous high that was set before, get this, the Great Recession.
And don't they get the way, interest, here, compound interest.
Add in another trillion of auto loan debt and $1.4 trillion in student loan debt, and the aggregate debt pile is now larger than ever before. It's growing at its fastest rate in decades. This just isn't ingrained in consumers. This is our governments and central banks. Mm-hmm. This is deficit spending. This is Keynesianism at its fullest. That's what Keynes preached. It's all right. This is what Paul Krugman has been spewing for years at the New York Times. Deficit spending. It doesn't matter. Governments and people can go into debt.
Yeah.
Now, our government's bankrupt on paper. Everyone's been saying that forever. It's bankrupt. Yet, people want to vote in a socialist who will say, no, it's all right. We have the Fed. We'll just have them print more money.
Yeah, we'll just print more.
Yet, jackass socialist Bernie, you don't really realize what's been going on since the Great Recession. It's called quantitative easing. If you read anything about economics, you would know what the fuck is going on in this country. Ask the Japanese how quantitative easing has worked for them. But it's always a cycle of debt, because who always makes money out of this cycle of debt?
The rich.
Yeah.
Uber rich.
The bankers. Who own the credit card companies, who own your debt.
The bankers.
Who are compounding your interest.
Because they already have their money. They have their wealth. They have their possessions. They're not going anywhere.
But this isn't income. This is capital. And it's principal returns.
Of course.
Which is goes back to, you know, how so few of them have
That's what the ruling class. They owned. Yeah. I mean, that. I didn't pull the number, but Americans aren't in the stock market anymore. Because that's probably actually a good thing. Because the stock market's rigged.
It's a scam.
Yeah.
For the, the people in control.
They just they have this pile of slush money that they just push around for each other.
Yeah.
That's what's always so amusing when I had Bloomberg on this morning, and my God, my eyes and nose and ears were bleeding listening to these guys. Corporate earnings are up and blah, blah, blah. Corporate earnings are so great. Corporate earnings. The jobs report. It's meaningless. No one's making money in this country. The corporate earnings are fabricated. It's an illusion. The only reason companies have any type of earnings is because it's called stock buybacks. It's called crazy Wall Street accounting. That's it. That's all. We live in a fucked up world where Snap, Facebook, Google, companies who earn no money, have no actual real revenue, are worth billions and trillions.
And traded by the billions and trillions.
Snapchat. is some stupid thing that sorority girls and millennials use to put, you know, donkey noses on them. And this company is worth, what, $32, $52
billion?
Yeah. They have no revenue.
Yeah.
That's how fucked up everything is.
So here's my question.
There's no real wealth produced anymore, is really what I'm saying.
Where's the wall? And what happens when we get to it?
Well, I mean, it's
the, they'll just keep putting it off.
That's what they're doing.
And the illusions the central bankers
have been in since 2008 have been in collusion.
Oh, it goes way past.
Oh, it does. But they're papering.
The lower classes, whatever you want to call them now, you're only going to bleed us so dry before we can't.
Well, that's the thing. What is the working in the middle class anymore?
Well, I don't want to stereotype, but they voted for Trump because he promised. No, and I'm not saying this to put them down. He said, I'm going to give you back because that's who benefited from the 50s when America was great.
I mean,
that's what they voted for. What's happening
How
though?
Split open did it become? Who's the dirt poor now? I mean, it's like the dirt poor.
The dreamers?
But at what point does that group of people go, this is bullshit? And they're like,
well, what can they do?
Trump didn't do anything.
We have them hooked on heroin, and they're dying at a huge rate, Angel.
I mean, in theory, and it didn't play out that way, but wasn't that what Occupy Wall Street was? So they went and protested, and Wall Street poured $3,000 bottles of champagne on them. That's what happened when they had enough.
I don't know.
Here we are talking about the same shit. Nothing changed. Nothing happened.
It's like Angel has said. Through now, whatever it be, this is 23 podcasts. If you want real change, it's got to be blood and slaughter.
Blow it up. You got to blow it up. That's going to be a hell of a reset button, people.
I feel bad preaching all this, oh, debt's terrible. I mean, I've got a mortgage, a car payment, I have student loans, but I have them at levels where I can more
There's
than
nothing
manage.
Wrong with debt. There's nothing wrong with borrowing a little bit of money to make your life a little bit better. But it was the exploitation of the, oh, well, you can do this, and you can do that, and you can do this. All you have to do is borrow. And people were like, well, I only make $35,000 a year, and my wife only makes $30,000 or $40,000 a year. But we can afford all this because they're letting us do it. No.
When if you make that, you can lead a happy life, and you can have everything. $70,000 for a couple is not bad money if you're frugal and reasonable.
If you're realistic, you're realistic about where you stand, yeah. But when you get coerced into going, oh, no, I can do this, then...
That's the whole thing. I remember around 2008 and afterwards, and everyone was like, let's go to the housing numbers.
Yeah.
Just because, in our area, I mean, houses were going up everywhere, and you'd be like, who's buying these houses?
Yeah, and they were shithole. I remember going out with my wife when we first, she wasn't my wife then, but we wanted to get a house. And I'm going through, and I'm like, this house is kind of shitty, and you want $175,000?
Drywall. They're all drywall. And then they get a few rain, and it molds.
Yeah. Or even like an older house, you're like, this isn't worth $200,000?
No.
No.
The housing market has been so overly inflated.
Of course.
And then people were sold this pipe dream. Own a home.
Yeah, but they made it attainable. Like, oh, it's $200,000. We can't. I'm sure some people are like, we can't do that. That's too much. Oh, but here, I have this pile of money.
The banks are still doing it.
But if you don't have a house, how can you do a reverse mortgage, Angel?
Exactly. Because when I retire, if I want to live comfortably with my Social Security and the borrowed equity or reverse mortgage I'm going to do at home. Who was the senator that was doing that? He was also the actor. What the fuck?
From Law
name?
And Order. That fucking asshole. I hate that guy.
Yeah. He was in Hunt for Red October.
He's like, hey, get yourself a reverse mortgage from American Home.
I'm not
home.
A fucking scumbag, and they're not paying
what
me hundreds of thousands
of dollars.
What the
fuck was his name? Ted Thompson.
Yes!
Ted Thompson. He was like, you can get a reverse mortgage from American Home.
Our generation and the other generations, that they didn't seem to realize that the economy's fucked. Jobs disappeared. Your job is on the line every fucking day that you can go to work. There's no point to buy a house because if you buy a house and
you're
fired, you're fired.
Yeah.
You don't have a job. How do you afford that house? It's the cycle of debt is even more destructive.
And you're pinned in place.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big consideration.
Yeah.
They got you trapped.
Yeah.
You're just that mouse running around in that fucking maze. Yeah, everything is a dead end.
Think about how terrible it is. You actually own your home, and they were like, "Oh, you can borrow on the equity of your home if you'd like."
But so many people did that.
What kind of shit is that? Like, oh my god, that's
what
horrible.
Kept the economy going.
Yeah.
And then when it slowed down, and as we saw it, and I saw it in my retail life, like there was people just couldn't buy stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And then it was like, how did you not make your sales? Because people aren't buying anymore.
Yeah.
Don't you idiots get it?
Yeah.
Maybe the guys up in corporate in the big glass buildings who reside in the big cities.
They're the well.
They don't get it.
They're the well never runs dry kind of mentality. Yeah. They're like, oh, there's always some water in there. We'll find it.
Yeah. They don't get it.
Yeah.
And then they come through in their suits and they have their bimbos with them.
What's the new niche? Yeah. What are we doing now? We already fucked them out of their homes.
What can we exploit and suck the soul out of today?
Why haven't you sold 11 digital cameras this week?
Oh, my God. Did you get the protection warranty on that, Chad?
Yeah.
Because that's pure profit margin there, baby.
I didn't use protection. That's why I'm having a daughter. So,
little Zoe.
So, if we know what's fucked, and I don't think a lot of people know. I think a lot of people in our country, Americans are delusional because they've been indoctrinated to be delusional by, you know, black and white movies.
American exceptionalism.
Are we all delusional or are a lot of us in denial?
They're in denial so they can escape into Vanity Fair and look at the ads and think everything's going to be wonderful and great.
And their craft cocktail bar.
Exactly. So how do you survive now? Because the reality, as we've talked about, the jobs aren't coming back. And at some point, the whole side hustle gig and the creative class.
Exactly.
You want the cynical answer?
Sure.
Lower birth rates.
But we are having lower birth rates.
Yeah, and that will fix it given enough time.
Chad, this is why the UN put out these reports. This is why you have migrants in Europe now. They saw this.
But, in an economics, God, I sound like a capitalist. You need to eliminate that because lower birth rates drive up the demand for labor, which makes labor a commodity, which empowers the worker, which starts the whole cycle over, you know, and maybe it'll take a black death like it did that other time to drive that demand. But that's why people are having one kid.
They got good old-fashioned war for that now, Chad.
War doesn't
you need
kill
to get rid of
people
en masse. You just let them get killed.
I don't think we need to have... See, this is the thing. That's done. They're killing everybody off through the food, through the water supply, through getting you on 16 different pharmaceuticals. And now they got you on heroin. They had you on heroin, but you just didn't know it about 10 years ago when you had a back pain and that doctor wrote you that opioid.
Oxy something.
Yeah. Vicodin was pretty nice when I had my wisdom teeth out.
Yeah. So it just got stronger and then we gave it over to the black market instead.
Yeah, we'll just let the Mexicans do it.
Yeah. Novartis and all the other pharmaceutical companies made so much. Let's just give it over to the black market now to take over.
There you go.
So we don't need wars anymore. We have all
know.
The shit in the air and the food and the water to get to kill you off slowly but sure. Because here's the thing: if we have a massive war, that's really going to hurt profits.
Yeah, it may or may not
for somebody.
For somebody,
but if we can just keep you half alive, remember we can make more money.
That's
off
true.
Of you.
That's true.
Because you can build the insurance company.
Uh huh.
That's true.
Yeah, because insurance is great. Everyone needs insurance.
The healthcare system is.
Well, we need to build a hospital campus over here so we can have a grand
and don't forget
ribbon
all the,
cutting.
Yeah, don't forget all the satellite office too, like the open heart surgery inpatient.
But we've
or
talked about
area
this.
And...
This is why healthcare is expensive in this country because all of the money goes to executives. Mm-hmm. But we need more leadership.
Yeah.
That's what happened. All these kids that got MBAs now, this is what they do.
They're VPs.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
When we worked for the retail conglomerate, do you remember how many office managers we worked with?
Yeah.
And how many of those people were the scum of the earth?
I was just going to say, useless idiots.
Yeah. you know, they gave them their little bit of power, and they had to order the supplies and boss around the secretaries. The secretaries, the ones on the front line by themselves, who got bitched at when somebody else fucked up and had to talk some raging asshole down. Secretaries do so much in this world and are so underappreciated.
I was
going to
say, but we don't. Yeah, exactly. You know, they do. Well, they got rid of
There's your Marxism
now.
For the day.
They got rid of the secretaries.
Well, unless they're really hot.
Well, no, they still keep those. They
no, those are personal assistants. Yeah.
Oh, no. Those are their side piece. Yeah. That's their side hustle.
You say tomato, I say
that's
tomato.
That's their side hustle. She's my Uber.
I hustle her over on the side of the desk.
He's like working?
Because she's got an chilling. Accent.
So
drilling.
Working, chilling, drilling.
So we have the you can't escape. It's just done. So you just eke out an existence. Till you're dead. So if you're lucky enough, like you, let's just say Angel, you're lucky enough now to have a job that doesn't pay that great, but it pays enough. You just keep your mouth shut and eke out an existence until you die.
Either that, or I figure out a way to exploit somebody so I get more money. That's what I need to get in the exploitation business. That's what I need.
Oh, so porn?
Yeah, I need to find me a group of people that I can indoctrinate and just have them give me money.
It sounds like you want to start a religion.
Yeah, a religion or a cult.
L. Ron Hubbard just sent you a voicemail.
That's right.
So it's just hopeless?
Yeah.
This country's just fucked.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, we only have till the 23rd of September anyway. We'll be fine. A couple more days, it'll be all over, kids. I don't see an end to it. Not unless people wake up, stop feeding into the bullshit.
There's so much bullshit these days. I mean, they keep gaining from stringing along, so how does it end? Because they, you know, they've got puppets everywhere. And
but there's so much going on right now. Like, you have a collapsed economy. You have rampant drug addiction. You have stupid entertainment yet. You still have the consumerist society going on. You have politics, which is now pure distraction all over. You have this indoctrinated generation that's spewing all the isms all around, and you have people addicted to social media. Everyone is being bombarded and attacked all at once. It seems impossible.
Yeah.
How do you pick your fights?
Yeah, it's really hard because they're getting you. Like we said, it's incremental, and they're pouring it on.
Yeah, it's not even incremental. It seems like they just push the button at
some
point.
That's what I mean, though. It was incremental, and now that they've got everything in place, now it's just full on.
You can't hide.
No.
How do you hide?
No, you don't.
You don't. You just do your thing and ignore it.
Unless you run away to the mountains.
I mean, some of it is you have to tune it out because, in a way, it's a trap. It's a mental trap.
Yeah.
And it'll suck the soul out of you. That's why I feel bad for these kids that are standing out on sidewalks with bullhorns. I mean, I don't even... Oh, it'll soon be time for Ben Shapiro to get on at Berkeley.
No, he's on. He's on already.
Oh, yeah, he's on.
Yeah,
so
he's on.
So all those kids, like...
Oh, I'm sure they're burning the place down by now.
And I feel bad for them because they haven't figured out that it's a trap.
Yeah, they don't get it.
It's a trap. It's all a trap. And the people who have been fucking up this country and profiting from it are doing it right now. While you're standing there and worried about racism and feminism, they've won.
The capitalism
because,
has won.
Because those people don't care about that shit. Because it's not important. Because that's just a way to get you, just like consumerism, it's just another way to get you trapped and enslaved while they're fucking everybody over.
Because you're not watching what they're doing. You're worried about some bullshit.
It's divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer. It always comes back to it. It always does.
When you start to talk about the side hustle, and you know that's what this, you know, freelance generation and these young kids that work now, you know, six different freelance jobs, or you got your side passion and this type of stuff. Is that where it's gone? Is that the new survival?
Is it survival, or is that another obfuscation? Is it another way to keep them busy so they can't dig deeper, so they can't think about it? That's because they're too busy trying to survive.
Yeah, if you need six different side hustles just to put food on your table.
And then all that time between jobs,
hell,
you're not thinking it. You know, I got to stop at McDonald's and get a double octuple
and then
cheeseburger.
I
got
to go home and blog about this is bullshit. But I'm so fucking exhausted, I'm just going to go to bed right afterwards. because I got to pick somebody up at 6 in the morning and take them to JFK.
How many phases? What phase are we in before the end point?
I don't know. That's what I asked earlier.
I think they just create new phases. You know,
I don't know. I think they got us where they want us now.
I mean, they do, but they refine the process.
Yeah, but I think the people that would have resisted with guns and also, like I say, are, you know, now they're like, oh, we're taking your guns away. So
maybe there isn't an end point. Is it just more sort of a Sisyphean type of torture of humanity?
Oh, yeah. It'll just move on to the next phase. And
yeah, they'll perfect this little mechanism and they'll gain better tools and better technology.
And heroin.
Because really, who's on the cutting edge of technology? I mean, we're sitting here with iPhones. What do they have? More than what we have.
Oh,
sure. You know, they've got the cutting edge.
Yeah.
You know, they test it on us so that they don't have to deal with side effects and bugs and issues.
Radiation poisoning.
Yeah, but
maybe it'll be like drone wars. That'll be the next thing they do. Like, the people in California will attack other groups with drones.
Oh, wow.
That's what they'll do.
You'll have the alt-right and Antifa
guys. Yeah, they'll be fighting.
Attacking each other with drones.
With drones.
So it'll just be a bunch of fucking 4chan
You'll turn on
CNN
and it'll be like, Antifa just laid down a drone attack on the alt-right in southern Mississippi or whatever.
But they're all millennial scum, so will it be actual combat or will they have drone dance-offs?
Oh, my God. Drone furries. Are they going to have the kids there in their beds with their furry?
You know what? It'll be like, maybe it'll go back to like.
Chad doesn't even know.
I just vomited like, in
maybe
my
it'll
mouth.
Get, maybe it'll get the two best drone pilots and they'll race for pinks.
What is pink?
Pinks. Like, in the old days when you raced for pinks, like, you took the, like, if you won the race, you got the guy's car. That's what meant race for pinks.
So
never
heard
that.
I mean, you know, they're millennials. They don't have cars. So are they racing for each other's girlfriends?
That's kind of what I thought at first,
pinks are drunk. Well, yeah, as sick as they are, yeah. They're like, yeah, if I win, I get your girl's pink.
I never heard that. I didn't know you were into like 50s car culture and stuff.
I know a lot about boats.
Yeah.
So I figured, what the hell? You might as well throw in 50s car culture in there. We're racing for pinks. Yeah, look it up, kids. Look it up.
And now we've become an educational podcast.
Yeah.
Against our own will.
Is also educational. Yeah, I'm sure next year Heroin X comes out, right? It's heroin and ecstasy. Like,
wait, tell me more.
Is there a middle class of heroin users?
There probably is. Oh,
they're
God.
Like the ones I go to work at the factory, the last remaining factory.
Yeah, he only gets 80%. He only gets 80%. I feel like I get 95%.
He's only at 80% productivity. Yeah. And I'm so fucking strung out, I get
85%
productivity.
I was talking about the purity of the heroin. He only buys 75%.
Heroin's that downward spiral. There's no. Like, you get on it and it's a race to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. It's a horrible fucking drug.
Yeah.
It really is.
Some of those people who've been on it for a long time and are not dead, to a certain extent, I admire them.
You mean like
I don't
Keith
know
Richards?
How they've done it. Yeah, well.
Yeah, but Keith Richards did it when heroin was just heroin. Now it's like, oh, yeah, it's mixed
that was
with, like,
clean
Clorox.
And imported from Asia.
I don't
it's
know.
It's mixed with Clorox and some frack runoff.
I think Keith Richards did enough black tar in his life, you know?
Maybe it was organic heroin.
Or
it was artisanal heroin.
It was farm-to-table heroin.
Farm-to-table artisanal organic heroin.
Well, so when do we get our first... when we get our first heroin bar? Usually when they have shit like that, most people don't OD or get super addicted, though, right? Because you kind of go and you do it, but they wean you off.
That
and
was
they
one of the.
Get you off the drug,
it was,
do it.
Needle
well
exchanges
do it
weren't actually about giving them safe needles. That's what they said, and then they got you in, and they could talk to you about quitting.
Right.
And maybe a
few
people didn't get AIDS from sharing the needle.
That's what it was. It was to try to find a way to stop the spread of AIDS through
plus
needles.
Plus, engage
to get you
them.
Off
yes.
of
yeah.
the, get you off of it.
That was the
it's like
goal.
If you're gonna do it, all right, you're addicted to heroin, you can do it, but the objective is to get you off of it.
They give you like a bag and there's a needle, there are condoms, there are brochures, you know, how to get off heroin, there are rehab clinics.
How to get off heroin.
101.
No, but I mean, they're giving you information, and the theory is, you know, the first time almost nobody.
You know,
calls,
back in my day, we just went to the methadone clinic.
Back in my day, we would just kick his ass in the alley and beat the drug addiction out of him.
Do you know the relapse rate for people on methadone?
Oh, it was ridiculously high. Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah. It's all but 100%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who makes methadone? Big Pharma.
Who makes all
the same people who make everything that's not street heroin?
So they were just like,
"Here,
have some
stuff.
Methadone. That'll work." Yeah. Oh yeah. So we're fucked, right?
I mean, to have that pure nihilism where it's like, you know, Everclear song, you know, go out in the ocean and leave the world behind, and when I'll pass the breaker, I'll watch the world
white
die.
Men in black suits.
No, it's a comfort. Nihilism is comforting in that way, but at the
same
time,
but it's intellectually lazy.
It is. There is this idea that, and I do believe that the older I get, we are all connected in some way, all humans, and we've been separated from that through consumerism and government and all these other things that just try to divide and conquer us. So I think.
Part of the fun and
people.
The challenge is how do you help people? Well,
is
stay
that
insane.
Fun? Well, yeah.
I mean,
I
say fun. You know, yeah, we like being challenged. We like being confronted, or we wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have survived in retail as long as we did.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe you do your part. And it's not really eking your existence, but yeah, you got to make a living and get by. But you do your little part to try and put spreads.
You see those obituaries died at whatever 70, and all they did was work at the factory. Or they worked at the library, and then they always go, but they worked at the soup kitchen, you know, on the weekends, Friday through Sunday nights. They volunteered their time. They read books to the mentally ill at the local library or something like that. That, you know, people that you would think you got off work at the factory and you just wanted to go home and pound some shakers.
Yeah, they went to the bar and did happy
hour
every
night. These guys went to the soup kitchen and doled out slop for 5-6 hours, whatever.
On their little bit of time off
that
they have.
So give back to the community when you can, how you can, if you can.
Yeah, I guess.
And then
within
pay
what
it
your
forward
skill set
and
is.
Hope that other people pay it.
And
forward.
I'm that person that makes fun of what I call the do-gooders, but I think there's real people. I shouldn't say that because do-gooders have a motive.
Do-gooders, but then there's people that just want to do good.
There's people who really, quote-unquote, want to give back.
Yeah.
And do and
yeah.
succeed at
yeah.
Yeah. and aren't still look at the noble things I'm doing.
That's
a
do-gooder.
Yeah, like
yeah.
While they're taking a selfie while they're serving soup to the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that guy isn't showering.
Hey, look,
I just gave him a ladle of soup.
Sent for my iPhone 7
yeah,
Plus.
Hashtag soup kitchen.
Hashtag soup kitchen. Yeah, see, now that's that kind of asshole. But the guy, like you said, he works 10 hours a day. He's like, you know what? It's my day to go to the soup kitchen and give soup. That's cool. And I think more of us need to do that. And I think it starts small scale, like we've said before. And hopefully it kind of spreads and people pay it forward.
I think when more people understand that everything's so corrupt and everything's so fucked, the only things they have they can rely on
is
each other. Yeah.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever. That the guy next to you is in the same kind of shit that you're in, and you guys need to figure out a way to get through it. And that's it. And you're being fucked by the man that you can't see.
Kind of summed it up right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Wasn't that
go.
The middle
was
class?
Was that like my Jerry Springer final... what the hell was this thing?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
The final word?
The final word.
Is that what he... Yeah, he used to have the final word.
So I'm like, take care of each other. No, take care of yourselves and each other. And then everybody get Jerry,
I know,
Jerry.
I know
no,
more,
they only do that when there's fighting.
Morton
well,
Downey
yeah.
Jr. used to do that too. Like, you know, half of his audience would be like coughing from cigarette smoke and beaten up. And he'd be there standing yeah. at the end, you know, talking to the camera about be better to yourself, world. And then he would step away and the people would start throwing punches
yeah.
at each other.
They'd start
again.
Beating the hell out of each other. Yeah.
That's even worse than the ones in my fridge.